Blog Talk Radio.
Touch of your hand up and down my spine. What's so funny in my bed, trying to tell me something feels like butterflies. What's the feeling, what's the tingle, what's the tickle, what's the world got for you and I?
And I swear it's real.
Yes it is, can't nobody ever tell me otherwise.
And I swear I feel.
Oh, I can't deny what I'm feeling inside. Is this the way love feels? Have I found it for real? What will time reveal? Is this the way love feels? Every time I hear your voice, well it seems I have choice but to be amazed. It's like music to my ears, how I really love to hear everything you say. Does love really have a way of speaking in every unconventional way? What's a voice, what's a touch, tell me is it really love, does it feel this way?
And I swear it's real.
Yes it is, can nobody ever tell me otherwise. And now what I'm feeling inside is just the way love feels.
Oh, the way it feels.
Have I found it for real?
Oh, oh, the real.
What will time reveal?
Oh, oh, reveal.
Is this the way love feels?
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tony and Kai Show with your hosts, Tony Wade and Kaixa Rodriguez. It is a nice, warm, sunny day here in Richmond, Virginia. I hope that you are safe and blessed wherever you are right now listening to us across your radio or computer. We thank you very much for tuning in. And where is my lovely co-host?
Hey.
Hey, hon, how are you?
Excellent. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Oh, it is. It is. It's like totally nice outside. Yeah.
It is. It is. It's a nice day. It's a nice day. It's a nice day. I'm not going to complain because, you know, complaining don't do nothing. So.
Don't do nothing.
It don't do nothing.
That I have nothing to complain about.
God is good.
As a matter of fact, for y'all who don't know, I was at work, and I work until, sometimes I work until 12 midnight, so I was working until 12 midnight yesterday, and I was getting hungry, so I asked my boy next to me, I was like, yo, Jeff, I need something to eat. Jeff said, sure, come check my filing cabinet. I got plenty. You don't even have to ask. But he showed me these almonds, and I'm like, oh, these almonds are okay. That'll work, you know. But they were strawberry, y'all. I've never had strawberry almonds. And I'm not talking about, like, a coating over them or dipped in anything. They're walnuts. They're red walnuts, and they're strawberry flavored. I'm in heaven right now.
They're actually very good. My hubby shared them with me. They are thebomb.com.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go get. He said they had chocolate, but I figured that was close to being, like, chocolate covered. And so I figured I'd try something different. These strawberry things are off the chain. Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes, they are.
But besides that, I mean, I was just throwing that little tidbit out there for those of y'all that don't know that they exist, because they do exist. Oh, my goodness. They're good. But I do want to remind y'all. April 19th, Vengeance Unleashed is coming out. It was out there for people to get, but they didn't know. Some people had it. Some people have read it. I haven't gotten any bad reviews. Not one, except, well, I got one that was like, the person that did it, it wasn't their genre, and they kind of read it in that way. So they were like, well, it's not really my genre. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't my genre. That's about as bad as my reviews on the book have gotten so far. So I'm excited. My baby is about to be born, you know, legally, legitimately, fully to the max. And I'm enjoying myself with it. So April 19th, y'all need to look for it, okay? And for those of y'all who are close to me, those who are friends, family, need you to buy the book.
Yes. Yes, we need your support.
Support.
We definitely need your support. That's what we do here. You know, we support y'all, so we need you to support us.
Support, babe.
Support, you know.
Speaking of support, babe, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me? Mary Kay, Tracy Lynn, you know, that's what I do now, you know, this month. Let's see, what are my goals this month? They say closed mouths don't get fed. So what are my goals this month? 30 faces this month. So if I can't do your face, you know, you could do a catalog show. I can ship you a book. You can go to my website. You can go on Facebook, you know, facebook.com, Bling Books Beauty, and you can find out what my sales are. You can support me there, or you can go to blingbooksbeauty.webs.com, and you can find out where my all, it leads you to all my websites from there. You can support my books there. You can support my Tracy Lynn there, which is gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous jewelry there. And you can support my Mary Kay there. You know, support with a $10 eyeliner, you know, eyeshadow. You know, get beautified. You know, Easter is coming up. Mother's Day is coming up. I'm always offering specials and deals. You know, fellas, you can get your lady a gift certificate if you don't know what she likes, and then she can come back to me and shop. You know, so we are always doing things to help. You know, my Beautiful Mess series is in progression. I've sat back and let my baby take the lead right now so that his book can have some shine. It's his due time. You know, we have to do this. We have to take turns.
It didn't have to be taking turns.
It does have to take turns.
Yeah, friends.
We do have to take turns.
Our friends
and
family, they support. They'll support.
They will support. But I wanted to give my baby this is his debut book.
No, man. I didn't need. No, no.
Debut book.
You know what?
Stop it, Anthony. This is his debut book. He needs, and everybody who's had a debut book understands what I'm saying. He's trying to do that hubby
thing.
Here's
what I'll do.
He's trying to do that hush. I'm trying to overtalk him. He's trying to do that hubby thing. All the authors listening, you understand what I am saying, that he needs to have that debut book shine, and he needs to have that joy of having. And when we get Anna Gia on here, she's going to tell you that you need to have that debut book. You don't need to be in competition. It's not really a competition.
Thank you.
But you don't need to have my book coming out right when your book is coming out. She's going to tell you. Matter of fact, we're going to bring her on the line right now.
Like,
we're going to shut you down right now. We're going to shut you down
by my book
right now. We're going to shut you down right now. We're going to shut it down. We're going to bring her on the line right now. We're going to stop this right now.
Nope,
we're going to stop this. Hi, Anna Gia. How you doing, hon?
I'm quite well, but I'm not getting in the middle of this one. I'm going to stand over here in the corner and let y'all work that out.
Okay, we're going to say this. How did you feel when your baby came out? Is this your first book?
Actually, no. This is my third. Okay, so it's kind of my third. It is my third in the traditional sense. And then
okay.
I have an alter ego that has one that I did last year. So technically speaking, it's my fourth per se. But
okay.
my third
okay.
kind of in the traditional sense of being released.
Cool.
Now, when your first book came out, your first baby.
Here we go.
When your first baby came out, how did you feel?
I don't know. It was, writing for me is an interesting venture. And for, you know, when it first came out, I was like, okay, yeah, this is done. I think I had more of a reaction when I had a coworker walk up to me. She was like, I saw somebody on the train reading your book. Then I was, like, really excited. And at that point, it kind of hit me that, you know, this is available for the masses, and people can kind of now see what I've done. So
mm-hmm.
that very first, when it came out, it was just kind of like a ho-ho-hum, okay, it's here. But, you know, when it gets into the hands of readers and you start hearing that feedback that is in the hands of readers, that's when it really started to motivate me and kind of, you know, bring me up to that level. And when I saw it in Walmart, my eyes really opened and I was like, oh, I've arrived.
See, that's got to be the shine on the apple right there, you know, to be
is.
Able to see it out there. It's got to be, you know, exciting in its own right, and I'm liking that thought in general. You know, I think I'd probably be the same way. It'd be like, oh, my goodness, my book is on the shelf, you know, and then I'll be standing there by it. But, hey, this is a great book. You ought to get this book. It's really good. You know, on the shelf, you pull it off the shelf and read it like you ain't never wrote it before and be like, you see a woman coming down. You really got to get this book. Oh, my goodness. This is excellent. Next thing you know, they're taking it out your hand. You're like, yes. Yeah, I'm looking for that.
You want me to sign that for you? Definitely. Oh, yeah, by the way, I actually want that. So if you want to go up here, I can walk with you to the register, and I can sign it for you.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be hot.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be hot. Have you done any book signings yet?
With this one, no, not yet. I'm kind of right now doing the blog tour thing. I actually do have a regular 9-to-5 job, and we're kind of in our peak time. So I'm not at liberty to really take the time off. And with what I do, we're on call sometimes. So on the weekends, if I have to go in, I have to go in. But I am scheduling some stuff for a little later on in the summer, probably mostly in Georgia, maybe Alabama, South Carolina, possibly Florida.
No, go ahead. We're soon.
Yeah, so that's what I'm hoping for, that, you know, probably mostly the southeast region of the U.S. I'll start with and then maybe expand on that.
Okay, just make sure you hit Virginia. I know we're like middle east, you know, southeast, you know, we're like, you know, middle east. We're not northeast, we're not southeast, you know, we're kind of in the middle.
You
so
just
make sure you hit Virginia.
Yeah, I'll try. My husband's a northerner, so, you know, we may be making our trek on up to New York, and maybe I'll stop through along the way.
That'll work.
That'll work. We'll have to plan something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to plan something because, you know, we've made a couple of author friends in Virginia since we've been here. We're from Massachusetts.
We're northerners.
Yeah, we're northerners, too, so... We've made a couple of author friends since we've been here, so it's our goal to plan something here. You know, my hubby's book will be out, and then I've got two out, and get this third one out, plus the couple of anthologies that we're part of. So, you know, with the few authors that we know, try to do something here because the last book thing that we went to was a year ago, babe, or maybe a little over a year ago.
Yeah, it was a little over a year ago.
We
definitely got to plan something.
Yeah, I haven't heard about anything since then. But, yeah, we definitely need to do something else here.
we did get your books in, like Kai said, so we want to thank you for that, and we thank you. I mean, I'm thanking you for the signature. I feel special. I feel special. I got my signature, and I didn't have to stand in line.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you for that signature. Tell us a little bit about your book, Double Take. Tell us about it.
At its core, Double Take is really about assumptions and about the roles that they kind of play in life. The two main male characters are Sheridan and Winston Malcolm. They are brothers, and though they've been raised in the same household, two-parent household, they've kind of grown up quite opposite. And, of course, jealousy rears its ugly head, and Winston kind of feels like that his brother got all the shine and got all the attention, and it was always, why can't you be more like Sheridan? Sheridan this and Sheridan that. And so it just made him into his own man. But, of course, as years go on, it's kind of like the rift between he and his brother has gotten to be a bit much. And, you know, when you get to be an adult, you kind of look back and say, all right, you know what, time for us to kind of put this to rest. Whatever happened, happened. We can kind of work this out. But, of course, the jealousy thing remains. And when Winston goes and sees this picture-perfect life that his brother has, he kind of is at a place where he wants to do anything he can to ruin that.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's what Double Take is about.
Oh, my goodness. How long did it take you to write it?
Actually, Double Take I wrote during National Novel Writing Month. So I wrote it cover to cover, that first draft, in 30 days.
What?
Wow.
What? Yeah. Yes, you should join us for Nano. It is a really interesting experience. It really is about quantity, getting as much done as you can versus the quality of the work, because you can always go back and edit. So while the first draft was done in 30 days, it probably took me another 6 months to go through the editing part and determine what I'm going to keep, what I kind of need to flesh out, you know, what questions did I leave unanswered, did I really want to leave them unanswered, you know, that sort of thing.
Wow.
Okay. I'm in. I'm in. I'm
Every
in.
November?
Just let me know. I'm in. I need to learn how to get stuff done, you know. I don't have any excuses because I do work 10-hour shifts, and I work a second shift, which cuts into your whole day, but I have 3 days off.
Yeah.
So I really don't have any excuses. I had 3 days to write, and one of them is Saturday. So I have days to write, you know. So, yeah, I'm on board with that. Well, what was the most difficult part about getting this done then? I mean, cause you wrote this book in 30 days.
Yeah, Double Take was actually, it was a change. I normally just sit down and write, and I kind of challenged myself for this particular Nano to at least do a rough outline of kind of how I wanted the story to go. So the greatest challenge for me was to actually sit down and try to piece together the story myself, instead of allowing the characters to write their own story. And I actually lucked out, and I guess they were happy with the direction that I went with it. So while it wasn't the whole formal outline that you do in high school or college when you're writing a paper, it was more like chapter by chapter. I can kind of see in my head what events were transpired, which characters were involved, that sort of thing, and then just have that rough framework to work from when I actually sat down to do the writing.
Did you leave any? Did you leave any cliffhangers?
No.
So I was wondering if it would be like a book too. You know.
While this book is intended to be a standalone, there's always room for a part two.
Okay.
So there's not. Really
I know that some people, the way some people write,
yeah,
they tend not to leave it there. You know what I mean? It's like you can't really tell what they're going to do with it. They can close it up, and next thing you know, there's a sequel, or they can leave it open, and then there's no sequel. You know, so I figured I'd ask, because people, you know.
Yeah, my intent was for this to be a standalone book when I wrote it. However, in my head, I can actually see another story formulating, same characters, maybe some characters that kind of made a cameo appearance, could in essence come back in a book two and start a new wave of drama, if you will.
All right. That works.
Yeah,
that it sounds awesome. I can't wait to dive into it.
Me either. Oh my goodness.
So this being your fourth book, how have you found the whole author connecting with reader experience?
At times it has its ebbs and flows. There are times where it's really, I think, easy for me to connect with readers. But I think there's a time where they want more, and I'm not necessarily
mm-hmm.
ready to give more. Like one of the projects I'm working on right now is kind of has come from the readers are like, I know there's a book two, and while there wasn't supposed to be a book two, now there's a book two. So in order to do that and commit to doing that book two, you know, I kind of had to back off. So, you know, I've circled myself with the social networking right now and just kind of dropping little tidbits on, okay, I'm working on this book y'all asked for. It's almost done, that sort of thing, to kind of at least keep them interested. And in the meantime, doing little things like showing some events that may be happening between the books, between the characters, things that won't necessarily be a part of the book, or things that may be in some of my other works that I'm working on, so they can kind of still stay interested, but, you know, be okay with, all right, I know this is coming, so I got to be patient. But in the meantime, I have a few little other things that they can kind of get into along that way.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wow.
All right, now, later on, we're gonna go back to your book in a second because it's very exciting. Especially with it being your fourth, you know, so we definitely want to dive in that. But I want to start a new segment in the show, which is called Know Your Writer, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to ask you, well, just so you don't think we're crazy, but we like to be comfortable, and we like to have our guests comfortable, you know, and
mm-hmm.
what we're going to start doing, and you have the privilege of being the first guest, but we are not going to have a show where we don't do this now. We want our listeners to know our readers. So we're going to ask you a couple of personal questions, not too personal, but we're going to ask you personal questions so that our listeners can get to know you as an author.
Okay.
Things like your favorite foods and everything. You don't got to answer that stuff now. You know, what's your favorite dish? Or, you know, what's your favorite? You know, just little questions so they can know their author when they pick that book up. You know, they know what kind of person this writer is. You know, so we're going to get in there. I want you to think about some things, you know, because I'm going to ask. You never know what we're going to ask. Everybody's going to be different. But we're going to see what happens with that, okay?
Okay. Sounds
right.
Good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does.
My mind just works. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It could be the sunshine today. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong
okay,
with being random.
There it is. Come on, girl, say that thing. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I do have a question. How has you're married, correct?
Yes.
So, how has it been being a writer and being married? I mean, I know you can you want to be able to say, you know, my husband's been supportive and everything, and he's done X, Y, and Z. A lot of people can't say that. But how has it been for you?
The being the author part has been really good. My husband, again, he is the supportive one. If I need to take a road trip, he is gung-ho to drive me. I'm not necessarily a fan of long drives, but I'll do long rides.
Say that.
So,
say that.
You know, that's just how I roll. And he's game for that. The writing part, though, has been, it started out being a challenge, but I think he gets it now. And that's just because of how my characters work. I think he started to learn when I'm in that mode. And my characters speak through me more so than me writing them. And so I'm not going to say it's like a multiple personality type thing, but that's sometimes how it will come out. If I'm in a character.
So basically, just from my understanding, what you're saying is your characters come out of you while you're writing.
Yes. Or they annoy me. I have characters that if I don't bow to their whim, they will say the same line again and again and again and again until I get up and write down whatever it is that they want me to write down.
Ooh,
they love to play with me.
I've never had a writer say that to us before. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Some of us wish we could be our characters. I mean, people would be in trouble if I was my main character. People, because they all be dead. So I can't act out my character, but you know, which is a good thing, because you know. But wow, that is something that to think about, because there are a lot of people out there that probably do the same thing.
Mhm. Yeah, They like to harass me in the shower too. So there'll be times where I actually have a full conversation while I'm in the shower with my character. Like, if they were standing in front of me, we would be coming to blows, like that type of rapport. So I never know when it's coming.
Oh, my goodness.
See, I've heard that before. I've definitely heard authors saying, you know, that they've had full-blown conversations with their characters. Like, like being an author is like permission, you know,
mm-hmm.
to be a little psycho, you know, to have multiple personalities, to sit around
mm-hmm.
and talk to yourself. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I'm okay, it's an author. Or
mm-hmm.
it's okay, I'm an author. And they're like, oh, okay. And people just go on about their business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm having a conversation with my characters. It's okay. You know? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working it out. Like, don't piss me off, because you might be the person that dies in the next book. You know, you better watch
always.
Out.
Now, Steve, now with that, being as close to your characters as you are, now that we know, with that being the case, who was your favorite character to write in your book? Who did you have the most fun with?
In this book.
See, that was the question she had a problem with answering.
Because I don't, again, I don't necessarily have a favorite character. I think I have a favorite character type. But
okay, so what is your favorite character type?
I love to do strong women with non-conventional jobs. So while in this particular book the wife is a soap maker, in most cases my main female character is, like a book that I'm working on right now, she's the repo man. But that's just who she is. I have a couple that are racers, but that's just who they are. So they tend to pick jobs that are usually in male-dominated professions.
All right.
It's always fun to me to see kind of how they react to the same scenarios that their male counterparts will react to, and how it can be significantly different or completely the same.
Wow. Okay. See, I'm in awe of you, because you really have, and I know that writers, they, on a norm, they'll do that. You know, they embed themselves in their character. But you really, I really feel that you really have, like, an intimate relationship with your character. All of your characters, when you're writing them, it's like you know them inside out, upside down, left side right. So I'm in awe of that. I mean, I have a relationship with my characters, like I know them like that, and
mm-hmm.
I can write them in any scene, but I don't have that inside thing with them. I'm more of a, this is what I want you to do, you know, and then I make them do it. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel pain for a lot of my characters, especially the way that I write. You know, I do feel the pain and everything, but I feel the intimate relationship that you have just from speaking about it. So when I write it, I mean, when I read what you wrote, I'm definitely gonna be able to relate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good and bad to that. The bad side tends to be that when you do have such a close relationship, like you were saying about how you feel your character's pain, sometimes I go through that with my characters. And I've gone through that with my character in my first book, to the point where I literally could not function in the real world. Like, I had to take days off from work. It was so, it pulled so much out of me that there were days I couldn't get out of bed. So
really?
Yeah. There's plus and minus to that. So keep that in mind while you're wishing you had that. The other side is that you have to deal with the ramifications that come with having such a closeness to them.
Well, see, like, my characters are, I've only had one character where it was anything similar to that, but it was back in high school, and I still haven't written anything with him in it since. But My characters are, because I don't write your, I'm more of a, what do you call it, babe? I'm like, I write suspense, thriller.
Yeah.
Action. I'm that type of writer. So my characters, I embed myself in the storyline itself more so than the characters. I'm into, not that the characters don't make the story, but I embed myself into the...
the action part.
Yeah, into mm-hmm. the, I mean, where I'm like wishing I could do what they do. You know, it's like, man, I wish I could wield a sword like that, or I wish I knew martial arts like that, or I wish I could scale a wall, you know, stuff like that. And those are my stories. So I'm more into the... let me read, let me write, and when I'm writing, I'm in that world. My world, I'm oblivious. That's how come my wife complains. You know, you had been in the bedroom for hours. You ain't even checked to see how I'm doing. That's because I wasn't here. I wasn't here. I was in, there you go, babe. That's the explanation right there. I wasn't here. My mind, I'm in my story that I'm writing. I'm gone. I'm there. And I'm living that story with them. You know, but once I'm pulled out of that, I'm back here,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I'm a, that's, it's just like a little different of a way for me when I'm writing, but I love that, that I love that rapport that you have with your characters.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So what was, I know in what is some things as we continue our get to know the author segment, what are some things that you like to do when you're not writing?
Well, just like my characters, I am very much a non-conventional woman. I'm the girl that would be out in the woods, tramping through the woods at, you know, at some campsite. I am a racer, so during race season, you know, if my car's where it should be, then I'll be out there on the track. If not, then I'm on the sidelines. You know, just
oh, wow.
Atlanta is 4 weeks away, so I'm counting down. yeah, and because I love the research part of my stories, you know, I'm game to try just about anything once. So, you know, I go out on the Groupon or Living Social, and archery is my new thing. So there are places around Atlanta where you can do archery. I'll go to the gun range. You know, now when the time comes, if I need to be prim and proper, you know, I can put on the little dress. And the real shoes, which I'm not a fan of, and go out to dinner or, you know, a cotillion or somebody has a party, that's fine, but that's not really where I feel at home.
So would you classify yourself as being, say, not that I like using the term, but would you classify yourself as, say, like a tomboy?
Yes, I am. I would climb trees. I used to do it when I was little. I still do it. But I'm also, you know, just open to explore the world as it is. I don't feel like I'm limited by the fact that I'm a female. You know, I'm not going to say that I could be in the military and, you know, throw a 50-pound person over my shoulder. But by the same token, things that are traditionally what boys or men do, I'm not intimidated by, you know, going out and doing those things.
Wow. That's excellent. I like that.
Yeah, see, you won't catch me in the woods.
You don't like bugs?
I don't do bugs. I don't do bugs. I really, like, I always wanted to do, like, a camp, like, you know, do camping and things like that, but
mm-hmm.
there's no way to avoid the bugs. So I would love to do it, and I think we watched, like, Parent Trap, like the new Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan in it, and I
mm-hmm.
think I wouldn't be, like, that stepmom that would be, like, freaking out at every little thing,
mm-hmm.
but I think I would be, like, somewhere, like, maybe, like, a couple of steps above her. Like, I could probably sit on the tree stump and chill, but as soon as I felt something crawling on my leg, I would probably have a heart attack.
So no baiting a hook with worms or minnows.
I could do
like
that. See, I could do all of that stuff. I just don't like things crawling on me. I could do fishing. I could scale the fish. I just don't want to feel nothing crawling on me. I would probably, if we could avoid that part of it, I'd have fun.
Yeah, see, I'm a
Tell
fan
us.
Of snakes and spiders and critters, so that's not an issue.
Oh, no, see.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Oh, spiders, no. Mm-mm.
I'm more, I mean, I can try to avoid spiders. They try to stay hidden. Snakes, that's a whole other issue for me. I can't do snakes. I can't even think about dealing with snakes. I mean, again, one of them things that might get me kicked out of the men's club, I am not trying to deal with no snakes. And I just finished watching a compilation on snakes. I can't do it. I mean, you never know where they're going to come. They slither and, you know, they end up showing up when it's too late for you to do anything. I just can't. Oh, my goodness. I can't. And I just finished watching that thing about man eating snakes. No, I'm sorry. I can't do it. And then I go on Facebook, and they had that post about the snake, that long snake that was up against the wall. And the writer, whoever it is, I wanted to kick him. He was like, good thing this snake is dead. So I played a thing. The camera follows this big behind snake all the way to the head. And when it gets to the head, the snake strikes. I'm like, oh, my God, I almost dropped my phone. I can't do snakes. I'm sorry, I can't. Oh, my goodness, I can't. So, mad credit to anybody who can. I've seen snakes that have eaten alligators and everything else. I watched them open the snake and pull out a deer. I'm not even trying to deal with them things. I just can't. I can't. So camping is out of the... I'll take a hike.
Y'all go camp in a real cabin.
Yeah, you know.
It's a real cabin.
Make sure there's some cable in my cabin.
I don't need a cable. I would love to go, and if it's overlooking a lake or something, you know, I have a book. I could do some writing up there and all of that stuff, but
hint.
Yeah, probably not out in the woods.
Hint.
What is your speaking of which, because my personal preference is one, I keep saying one day I would love to have my own little, like, cabin area. Do like a Stephen King thing where I go for like 3 months where I'm in this spot where I just write this book and get it done. And all I'm worried about, all I'm thinking about is this book that's got to get done. And my idea is like not so much a cabin, but a little place, a nice little place more or less towards the beach instead of the woods. You know, where Jason can come out from behind a tree.
Don't fall.
I'm more of a, give me like this beachside cabin or something where I can hear the waves at night and stuff like that. I would love that. What is your ideal writing spot? What's your ideal environment?
I don't have one. My characters talk when they want to talk. So there are days when I write at work. I have a job that kind of, there are times where I can do that. People always tell me, you know, I don't have time to write. My trick is when it gets to be like that, lock yourself in the bathroom. Nobody's going to bother you in the bathroom. You know, you bring in a blanket and some pillows, lay in the tub, and just do what you have to do. You know, but I can pretty much write anywhere. And, you know, if I feel like I'm in a place where I'm blocked, it's not even necessarily the writing part, but how you write. If I type, there are some stories where I can just type them from cover to cover, but I'll get to a place where I've kind of hit a wall, and so instead of typing, I will write by hand. So I have a couple of books that I've literally written the entire book by hand and then either gone back and typed it or dictated it to, you know, get it in that other written form to be able to manipulate, cut and paste, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Now, have you tried and you said dictated, so have you tried those voice-to-type programs?
Yes. I actually have Dragon.
Thank you. I'm so glad you have it. Do you like it?
I do. I will say that, like with any piece of software, you will have to train it. So all of the time, you know, the more you use it, the better it becomes at recognizing what it is you're trying to say. But there will still always be limitations. For example, words like there, and there, based off of the spelling, it doesn't always get the context. And so while you know that you don't have to do the entire typing, there will be editing that you will have to do to kind of get those particular things. And the trick is to not try to dictate, to just read things as naturally as possible. And the more you do that with the samples that they provide, as well as your writings, it does get better. But from the start, it is rough going. But again, the more you use it, the better it'll get. And at some point, you know, you'll have fewer mistakes than you would, you know, with just typing yourself or that you would when you first got the software.
Does it make the process faster?
It can. I have times where I deal with carpal tunnel, so I try to limit how much typing that I do. But because I naturally a lot of times would just write my stories by hand anyway, I think for me it is quicker. It does speed up my process to get it into the typed form using it than it would me actually typing by hand.
Yeah. And, I mean, I was thinking, you know, as writers, how we sometimes think faster than we write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we skip words because we thought it in our head and thought we typed it, that it might, I'm thinking it might be a good program because if we're saying it out loud,
mm-hmm.
we may get everything that we're thinking because we're
mm-hmm.
going to speak it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people do use it for that purpose instead of doing a voice recorder and then later on trying to translate it. But for me, I find that if I try to speak and have it running and my stories just don't come out that way. Even though I can sit here and
okay.
have an argument with a character back and forth, if I sit down and actually try to write using the program, that doesn't
mm-hmm.
work for me. I know I have some author friends who that actually does work for them. But like you said, you think faster than you type and sometimes faster than you speak. And I find myself, I think, being thrown off by trying to make sure that if I'm speaking in a certain pattern and I acknowledge that I'm a fast talker, sometimes it doesn't catch on to that versus if I've written it out and I dictate what I've written, I can always go back and know, oh, it missed this word or this whole sentence, this whole phrase, incorrect, and easily have a reference to come back and correct it.
Got you. That may be something we have to look into.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into it right after we get off the phone. I mean, I'm going to do that because, I'm not as worried about my edits right now, but
It's a new way of writing.
It's a process for me, you know what I mean? It sounds like
mm-hmm.
it, you know, and you can lay down. Now, is that something that you can also, I mean, it's strictly to the laptop, I would assume, or is there a way it can be extended to the phone? Or?
Actually, I think they do have a app version. What I do know is that if you buy the very basic one, it's pretty much going to be you're just kind of dictating through a headphone set. But if you
mm-hmm.
buy, like, the professional one, it actually has software that can recognize. So if you record something in a voice recorder, you can plug it in, and it will transcribe it.
Okay.
So if you're a person who you know, wants to talk it out but not necessarily while you're talking, have it typing, again, that keeps you with another way of verifying what it is that you said, then, you know, with the higher grade ones, it actually will transcribe what you've written or what you've spoken into, like a voice recorder or your phone. Some phones have apps that do that, too.
I could get that done. I'm still trying to learn my phone. I'm still trying to do things with my phone. I just added that app. I mean, my phone comes with one, but I added another app because they're doing this thing at work with the walking where it counts your steps. And, you know, we pretty much have to commit to a certain amount of steps a day. So I just downloaded that. So I'm still learning my phone.
Nothing wrong
but
with
I
that.
Would love, I think for that program, it would be good if I could use that from the phone as well because I'd be able to do it at work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when I have that time, it would be quicker for me to pull that app up and
mm-hmm.
work on my book than it would to pull out my laptop at work.
Mm-hmm.
And my company, they don't want us pulling out laptops near our computers at the desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to actually go somewhere whenever
mm-hmm.
I had 15 minutes compared to just pulling out the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like that idea that you have. I like that, and I really want to look into that. I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is – I know you're on your fourth book now, so you have a lot of experience. You've gone through a bunch of, you know – bunch of different trials and errors and things that have worked for you, things that probably haven't worked for you. And what is some advice that you can probably give to some aspiring authors or writers, poets or whatever that are listening in?
The biggest do would be to, you know, do your research. If you are going to get this out to the masses, whether you choose to self-publish or go small press to do a blog or to, you know, go the traditional route, do your research. It's a business, so you should treat it as a business. Even if you're doing blogs, you know, you should understand copyright law at least at a high level so that you'll know if somebody starts using your stuff that if you wrote it, it belongs to you, and they either need to take it down or they need to pay you.
Mm-hmm.
As far as don't, for me personally, the don't sell your soul thing, it was a biggie for me. A lot of people are so enthusiastic and they're so ready to get their stuff out that they someone hands them a contract and they just sign. And I would never do that. I actually went the traditional route with my first two books and I rewrote my contract. They was mad with me, but I was also prepared to walk away because I wasn't just going to give away my rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, don't if you choose to do that with the strategy of getting exposure, then you acknowledge that that's what you're doing. But if you're just trying to do it thinking that you're going to make all this money from the start and that, you know, in the end your stuff will be yours, you need to really make sure that you read what it is that you're signing and that you understand what it is that you're signing. And if you agree to that, then agree to it. But if you don't come back on the back end being upset because things didn't go your way.
Mm-hmm. That's deep. Yes. Research is so important, especially in our field, because so many self-publishing has become this really, really, really huge market. And I was just over this weekend on my way to a dinner with some of my Tracy Lynn reps, and they were asking me, I guess she has a friend who put a book out and it didn't do so well, and how do you get your book out? And research is one way in marketing yourself, branding your name. You, like you said, this is a business. You are now in business. An author is being in business. You have to be able to be willing to get business cards and get postcards, and not Facebook is not the end-all to be-all of of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Twitter is not the end all to be all to publishing, you know, or to marketing. You know, putting up 50 posts a day to buy my book on Facebook is not going to make you a best-selling author, or tweeting 1,000 posts a day buy my book is not going to make you, you know, a best-selling author. You got to get out there to the people, you know, like the same way McDonald's and everything else does. You know, we don't really see commercials for books. I don't understand why, but I think it would be awesome. You know, the trailers have fell off. You know, we were doing trailers a little while ago, and they've kind of fallen off. But I think I thought it was cool, you know, when we have movie trailers. I thought it was really cool when we started doing book trailers. For me, I really enjoyed them. But I mean, you have to brand yourself. You are your brand. You're an author. You got to get out there, and you've got to be willing to say, "Hey, I'm an author." Nobody knows you're an author if you don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one knows where to buy your book if you don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And also,
and how did, oh, go ahead.
And also, you know, no. And I don't know if everybody views it this way. For me, being a writer and being an author are two different things. There's a clearly defined line for me. While I may not always choose to be an author, I think as far as my characters are concerned, I will always be a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are different hats. They serve different purposes. And while you can't necessarily be an author unless you pay somebody without being a writer, you can be a writer without being an author. And knowing why you're in this business, you know, if you are going to go the author route, knowing why you're doing it is your it can be a key motivator to kind of keep you going in author mode. But sometimes you may have to step out of author mode and actually be a writer so that you can get that next book written.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I like that you said that. I like that you put it out that way, because there is a difference.
definitely, definitely, definitely is.
We are into our last, say, 12, 13 minutes, so we are entering our segment known as Know Your Author, Know Your Writer. See, we have to adjust that for you because you made that distinction just now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go there. And we're going to say Know Your Author because we have an author on today. We have someone who has just put out a book. She has 4 books out. So we want to get to know the author. We want to get to know the writer. We want to get to know the person. So with that being said, why don't you tell us what is your – and I have a wife who loves – she's Indian, Afro-American, and she is also Cuban. So I eat well.
Me too.
I eat so well to the doctor's like, you need to lose weight. So I put on a lot of weight in the last 2 months. But what is your favorite food?
My favorite food is actually a fruit. I am obsessed with star fruit. I love star fruit and muscadine. So
really?
I am just a little country girl. Yes. I've eaten muscadines pounds a day to the point where I have broken out all over from the acid. I could eat muscadines forever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh,
but I'm
my
a baker.
Goodness.
So I like
Uh-oh.
To bake. I'm not a fan. I don't necessarily eat a lot of the stuff that I bake. So the people at my job love me. The people at our help desk at my job really, really love
me. That's Tony's job.
Yeah, they get to be I get to experiment with them. I'm on this substituting avocados for butter thing right now, trying to, you know, get that combination right. And so I will bake forever and a day. Bread, cake. I love alcohol cakes. I will bake an alcohol cake with alcohol in a minute.
Uh-oh.
But as far as eating
Uh-oh.
It, you know, piece here, piece there, and I kind of have to let it go.
Now, see, that I can do.
I don't know.
Now
I don't know if
you
can do my cakes.
Oh.
My husband's West Indian, so I have, I think, Trinidad black cake, which,
Ooh.
You know, yes. And it's like 3 different alcohols, and they're, yeah, put a bottle of sherry, a bottle of rum, a bottle of brandy, so, yeah. Whole bottle.
Whoa.
So 3 whole bottles of alcohol in the cake.
Whoa.
Wow. That adds a whole new meaning to getting tipsy. That's a whole new way of doing it. I think
yep.
I might like that, especially with the right frosting on the top. Oh, yeah. I'm good.
See?
I'm good. Okay. So I'm going to ask you another question. If you had a favorite destination to go to, where would it be? If you could pick anywhere in the world to vacation for 2 weeks, where would you go?
Karakou would be where I go. And for those of y'all who don't know what Karakou is, it is actually an island pretty much right across from Grenada, which is close to South America, you know, one of the Caribbean places. But Karakou is actually almost an untouched type place. So while you go and they have, you know, a few cabins and that sort of thing, it is vast wildlife, vast rainforest, vast forest, mountains. So you can actually get it all, including the beach, all at one location, almost completely undisturbed.
Now, see y'all here, see on the Tony and Kai show, edumacation.
I gave away my hiding spot now.
There it is. Well, see, they can't find you in the rainforest.
Yeah,
it's okay. They can't find you in the rainforest, so it's all good. But
trees,
yeah, that sounds like a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of it.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, again, we do want to thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Had a different atmosphere to it for me.
I like this show.
I did. I love this show. I think that it was a great informative show. We got to know our author. We got to know about her characters, the books. We also got to know about her favorite food and destination. We got edumacated. This was a full show, people.
Full show.
Full show. And we definitely have to have you back. You're one of them people we have to have back. Because, again, the show had a different feel to it, and it felt really good. Not that we haven't had great shows, because we do. I love our shows. It just had a different feel to it, you know, and we started something new, and we started it with you, and you were the perfect person to start it with. So we do want to thank you. Can you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you and know even more about you?
The best place to start would be my website, which is www.authorannagiawright.com. And I actually do have links on there to my other social media, my Pinterest, Facebook. I actually do have a blog that I post sometimes things about my characters, sometimes things about my books, or just kind of general things that I've learned in my experience in publishing. I do book signings, so whenever I'm doing something new, I kind of will post that up on my website to let people know, as well as I'm working on a newsletter, so I'm going to start running some contests to get people to sign up to my newsletter and find out more about me and my characters and any books that are to come.
Excellent, excellent. And real quick, do you have anything else that you're getting ready? I know you said you were working on a book.
Is there anything you want to throw
out there real quick?
Yeah, the one that's really kind of near and dear to my heart right now is called Carolina Drift. It is about this young lady who is a racer. She was a rally racer, but she left rally racing, and now she's trying to kind of get back into the racing spirit. She had a hard time. She lost her first love to racing. But, you know, when racing's in you, it's in your blood, and no matter what has happened to you, you're going to find yourself circling back to going to racing again.
Excellent. Any bit of you in that story at all?
Probably so. I never know until the bitter end.
Yay. Okay. Don't forget to keep in touch. We're going to try to keep in touch with you. We definitely want to hook up at some point because, I really want to meet you now. I think that you are an awesome person just from talking to you. So, and I can't wait to dive into this. This might be one of them books, Kai, where we have to lay in bed and read together, you know?
Yeah, I know. We definitely may have to do that.
Yeah, we might have to, especially since she was, you know, such a beautiful person and being in sending us two copies. We can pretty much just lay here and just read them. I can look at you and be like, okay, what chapter are you on?
I'm past you. Come on, you got to catch up.
He's the best. He's the best. But we will probably do a contest or something for one of them on our on our Facebook page and give one of our listeners a book, give them a chance to win a book. It's definitely probably what we will do. And we will read one and we'll definitely post our review and all of that great stuff.
Listeners, if you have not read it, and I'm quite sure you haven't quite yet, but Double Back is out, is ready to go, and you definitely want to catch a copy of this book to see what's going on with these characters, see how they're doing, see how our writer-author thinks as she puts it down in Double Back.
Double
so all of you that are listening and our supporters, we want to thank you for listening, chiming in. Kaiksa, anything you want to throw like in a quick minute as far as your book coming up goes? Because I happen to see you had a copy of your third book on the bed. No, what's that, the fourth?
No, that's Beautiful Seduction. That's the one that I'm editing so I can get that one out. But I just want to say, you know, make sure you visit our Facebook page, Tony N. Kai Show. We got the Hot Topic show that we're working on a date, and we may end up doing shows back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday because that's my boo's other day off. So we'll probably end up doing the Hot Topic show. We have a guest coming up, and I haven't talked to my boo yet to confirm, but she does I can't even remember what it is, but just go to the Tony and Kai Show page, and I'm going to post some information on her. But it's going to be a very, very, very good show when I get her on, when we confirm the date. So,
all righty. Well, everybody, we love you. We thank our guests for coming on. We love it. We loved having you today. We hope that you all have a great and safe rest of your week, and God bless.
God bless. God bless everybody.
Bye bye.
Shared Saturday showers like these are so sensuous, satisfying, wonderful. He leads me through dark hallways, and we carry on hushed conversations. This relationship went from friendship to lovers to slaves to paving the way for something magical between us. I anticipate our meetings from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I daydream about how he will stretch the seams of my two-piece suit. He suits me well to a T. He is me all over. I love the slow way he moves into my space, how he erases 8 hours of agitation with penetration through thrust and tongue. He makes me dinner for one with me as the main course. And of course, it took 5 long years to reach this stage through engagements and wedding bells. We've been to hell and back, but now he is my star, my wind, my sky. He is my lover, my daddy, my friend. He is me all over. He is me.